Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Generation Y ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible. Starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
There are days like today where I am just too busy to get outside and go feed myself. And that's where DoorDash comes in. It's super convenient and they bring the food to me. Also, I don't like paying delivery fees. So I have DashPass. DashPass is an exclusive membership from DoorDash that gets you unlimited $0 delivery fees on eligible orders and members-only deals and discounts, all for only $9.99 a month. DashPass actually pays for itself in two orders on average. DashPass makes it easy to save at restaurants, grocery stores, and all your local favorites. Open the door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. Sign up for DashPass today only on DoorDash and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change, terms apply.
Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app to listen ad-free.
From Wondery. How you doing tonight, Aaron?
I'm doing fine, Justin. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Got any announcements?
Yes. And first of all, I'd like to give a shout out to Philip Young in North Carolina. Birthday's on December 23rd. Happy birthday.
And if you're in the Colorado area, specifically Colorado Springs or Denver, February 10th, I'm going to be at the Goat Patch Brewery Company in Colorado Springs. February 11th, Breckenridge Brewery in Littleton. February 12th, at the Infinite Monkey Theorem in Denver, Colorado. And then February 13th, I'm going to be at Grandma's House in Denver, Colorado. I'll be doing a live show with Cult Crimes Cabernet, True Consequences, and True Crime IRL. So if you're in that area, please go out to Eventbrite. You can search for True Crime or Generation Y. That should get you there. And also, I will leave a link in the show notes.
Also, we've had people writing in over the last so many months saying, why did you guys go behind a paywall? I can't get your show anymore. I miss it. For all of you that are listening right now, we do not go behind a paywall. We are not going to go behind a paywall where you can't get our content for free.
There's some glitch happening with Apple because in all of their, you know, genius and all of their updates, they keep breaking things and it's causing issues with their subscription-based things. And it's inadvertently putting us behind that every now and then, depending on your iOS version on your phone and other things.
If you have any problems, contact Wondery, contact Apple, and let them know that you want to hear Generation Y podcast. And while you're there, leave us a review. We appreciate that.
So tonight's case, Aaron, it's a gruesome one. I had heard about this when this happened because it was in the Midwest. I won't say it was in our neck of the woods, but it was close enough. It was Lincoln, Nebraska, which is just a couple hour drive north of Kansas City. And it's just a wild case of con artists antiquing witchcraft and snuff films. So with that, what are we talking about tonight?
Tonight, we're talking about a woman by the name of Sydney Loof, and she lived in Lincoln, Nebraska. Well, she used Tinder. I'm sure everyone's well familiar with this app by now to go on dates. and she met a woman on this app and had a great time with her. Unfortunately, in this case, this goes from a great date to a nightmare.
Now, who was Sydney?
Sydney was 24 years old. She had moved to Lincoln, Nebraska after she graduated high school in 2011, and she worked for Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
Yeah. Which transferred her from the Norfolk store to Lincoln. So she had a job as soon as she moved. She was also saving her money because she eventually wanted to move to Colorado and work at a veterinarian clinic. So this took place in 2017. And Sydney's parents were George and Susie Loof. And Sydney visited them on the weekend of November 10th, 2017. Now, they were concerned for her because they knew she was having some issues with anxiety and depression, which she was taking medication for. But Sydney informed them that she didn't think the medications were as effective. And so she had made an appointment to see a doctor on November 13th to see about adjusting her medications. And so she hung out with her family. They helped her clean her apartment. They got some groceries. And then eventually she got some new medication. But her parents and Sydney, they parted ways on November 13th. So it's November 11th when Sydney had met Audrey on Tinder. And they had planned to go out on a date on that 13th when she had her appointment, etc. Sydney didn't tell her parents about this date, but she did tell some friends. And according to Sydney, the date went pretty good. And we know this because Sydney had texted a friend that she just got done chilling with a super cute girl. But what is it about online dating, Justin? There's maybe a little bit of apprehension, a little bit of suspicion.
Yeah, 90%+ of people meet through a dating app, but you can be whoever you want on that dating app. You can say whatever you want. You can give whatever history of yourself you want. There's catfishing, there's scams, there's all kinds of things, all these dangers and pitfalls that come with online dating. And just something as simple as you meet somebody and you just hope that they don't have a boyfriend or a girlfriend on the side and they're just cheating with you.
Right. And that's something she had actually texted a friend about because this had happened to her in the past. She would go out on a date, thought it was going well, and then it turned into sort of a proposition of, hey, there's someone else that wants to hang out with us too. And she didn't want that.
I mean, she's trying to date women. She's not trying to be with a man. But there's a lot of couples out there. They're called unicorn hunters that are always trying to get a third woman to join them. And Sydney's not about that.
So it's on November 15th when Sydney is picked up by her date at 7 p.m. and is driven to an apartment in Wilbur. Now, before this date, Sydney had texted Audrey and said, just going to be me and you, right? And the text that she received back was, okay, yes, of course. And it's about this time when Sydney posted a selfie to her Snapchat story, and there was a caption, ready for my date.
She was all dressed up, ready for a nice night.
Now, Snapchat, those images disappear, do they not?
Yeah, they do. You know, it's kind of like the story on Instagram. You can have a story on Snapchat and they just kind of cycle through. And once you look at them, then they're gone. And then you can send messages to people and they disappear after one viewing.
But Sydney's mother, Susie, saw this picture and she took a screenshot of it. And she texted her daughter asking, why didn't you tell me you're going on a date? But her daughter, Sydney, didn't reply. So Susie tried calling her, but she just got her voicemail. She became worried because it was like clockwork. Sydney always texted her mom at 10:30 in the evening, but she never received a text from her daughter on November 15th. Now, we say all that because it was the following day, I should say afternoon, when Sydney Loof was reported missing. Her mom reported her missing because her daughter never showed up at work. You try to think about things. You try to say, maybe she really got busy. Maybe the date was going great and she just, you know, she couldn't break away to text me. things were a little different.
They're filing a missing persons report, and they're asking the police to do a welfare check at her apartment. And upon arriving at her apartment, her SUV is in the driveway. And once they entered, they saw that her purse was on the counter, but her phone, wallet, and keys were missing. So they assumed somebody had picked her up. But they also noticed that her cat had no food or water. So they know that she hadn't returned home because she took good care of her cat. So the police are going to start tracking her phone, seeing what towers it had pinged off of, and going on to her Tinder profile to see who she had engaged with.
Yeah, they checked her phone, and the last contact they could find was in the town of Wilbur. And it was actually Sydney's friends who looked into Tinder. They knew she was using it, and they found a profile for someone that they think may have been in contact with Sydney. So one of her friends made a new profile and got in contact with this person. And once they were able to connect, they literally took the information that this woman sent them and then passed it on to the sheriff's office, which is, I think that's great. This is a very resourceful group of friends that Sydney had. It was on November 19th when the Lincoln Police Department and the sheriff's deputies were in the town of Wilbur searching, but they couldn't find anything related to Sydney or her disappearance. And a couple days later, the Lincoln police chief actually asked the public for help. And I don't know about you, Justin, but I got the feeling that this was basically to speed up the investigation because they didn't want to lose more time.
So from this Tinder profile, they're able to get a name and a phone number. And then from there, they're able to start tracking where that phone number has pinged cell towers, just like they're doing for Sydney's phone. And from that information, they're able to come up with a couple names.
So the couple of names were Bailey Boswell, who was going by the name of Audrey, and her boyfriend, Aubrey Trail.
Now, these two have criminal records, and I won't say they're well known by the police, but they're at least able to look them up and figure out that these two are no good, and they look very suspicious in the disappearance of Sydney Loof.
They owned an antique business together. They sold items in antique stores, online, and at different antique shows. And they rented out a basement of a home in Wilbur that was owned by Jennifer and Alan Cole. And Aubrey, yeah, he had been convicted of 21 crimes by the time he was in his 50s. And yes, he was much older than his girlfriend, Bailey.
And so it was obviously Bailey who was on Tinder talking with Sydney and talking with Sydney's friend, catfishing and getting them, you know, coaxing them to come over on the pretense of a date.
So the police are trying to track these two down, but they had fled town. And so they were using the cell phones to track their movements. They were also finding them on security footage in multiple locations. They were at a casino and in motels in Nebraska and Iowa. And something, I don't know if you would call this weird, but I think it's weird. They were posting videos to Facebook talking about how they were not guilty of anything.
We got to give a little context here. Sydney's friends and family created a Facebook group or a page, and everyone was posting information to this page, sharing information and trying to help each other out, when these two idiots decided to insert themselves into the discussion. And honestly, Aaron, I don't know if they were ever mentioned by name before they started posting. I think that the police knew who they were, but I don't know if the group was all about trying to find these two. I think it was just, you know, allegations and people trying to find Sydney. And they start posting these videos talking about, we have a record, you know, but we've turned our lives around and Sydney's a great girl and we love and care about her, but we dropped her off that night and she went somewhere else and we're not guilty. I mean, come on. It's like this attempt to tell your side of things, but it just made them look even more guilty and suspicious.
Right. And the videos were called Our Side of the Story. And then I guess just hours after they had posted those videos, they took them down, but then posted them on YouTube.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure they didn't like the response they were getting from the members of this group.
And while that's happening, the Lincoln police are actually doing searches looking for Sydney's body. They're expecting the worst. They're looking in creek beds and in ponds in Wilbur.
While they're doing those searches, law enforcement's doing like a presser, like a PR press release, and talking about where they're at in the investigation. And it's interesting because I think it's the police chief says, and we've made two arrests in this case. And then he stops and he goes, oh, we're questioning two people of interest. Like, they hadn't actually arrested the two suspects yet. And he was already saying, we have made two arrests. And he had to catch himself. But the next day, what happens?
The following day, Aubrey Trail and Bailey Boswell are arrested in Branson, Missouri. This is November 30th, 2017. They actually get these people on other charges, don't they?
They don't even have to go after them, you know, with the murder charges. They're just going after them for possession of marijuana. And I guess Boswell had missed a court date back in 2016. So they can just go pick them up on outstanding warrants and then hold them until they can put together a case.
Yeah. Bailey Boswell was arrested on a misdemeanor warrant for missing a 2016 court date. And Aubrey Trail had an outstanding warrant for being a felon in possession of a firearm. Just days later, though, comes the news that the Liu family were dreading.
A farmer had come across some remains and called the police.
There were black trash bags scattered in roadside ditches. And when the police arrived, they found part of an arm that had a tattoo on it. Everything will be wonderful someday.
And that's what they'll use to identify Sydney with, because there's like, I think 13 trash bags scattered. There's no organs found. It's just somebody chopped this woman up and scattered her everywhere.
In total, there were 17 crime scenes that included body parts, clothes, garbage bags, boxes, and tarp. Sydney had been dismembered into 14 pieces.
They could tell that there was a struggle at the time. She was restrained. There was bruising all over her wrists and inner thighs, a large bruise on the back of her head. One of her earlobes was torn, and there was hemorrhage across her neck, indicating that she had been strangled. And the investigation ended up being stalled until June of 2018, while the police department gathered all of their evidence. Because when you have this many crime scenes, it takes a while to process all of that.
But this is a good thing, because they're making sure that every I is dotted and every T is crossed before they move forward.
This is what we like to see.
So June of 2018, the Nebraska Attorney General's office finally charged Bailey Boswell and Aubrey Trail with first-degree murder and unlawful disposal of human remains. Aubrey Trail was interviewed for 3 hours by FBI agents on June 11th. What happened in that interview?
He told the agents that his second job was enacting hardcore sexual fantasies for people on the internet. Like, he made custom porn. He made lots of claims, ranging from an Alabama woman once paid him $30,000 to enact a fantasy. He said that two women paid him $15,000 to enact a fantasy involving a choking game with another female. And all of these fantasies involved some sort of aggression or violence. It wasn't tame fantasies at all. So he was supposed to find another woman to participate in this fantasy of this choking game, but she backed out. And that's why they reached out to Sydney.
Yeah, he tries to make it sound like they knew Sydney because she worked as a clerk at Menards, and he says that she had agreed to participate in a staged sexual fantasy. I don't know. This is unbelievable to me. Of course, you know, these are just his words, and it's up to the FBI to decide whether he's telling the truth or not.
Well, they can go back and look at her Tinder chat logs and things that she spoke about with her friends, and this statement doesn't really add up. Now, would Sydney tell her friends that she's going to partake in a choking fantasy? Probably not, but there was no talk about that in any chat logs or anything.
Well, and the other thing is he said that Sydney needed money. She was having problems financially and had agreed to accept $5,000 to participate in this fantasy. But he said that when she was there, that he accidentally strangled her with an electrical cord. He told the agents, "It was too many times, too long. I let a fantasy go down that I knew when it was set up that it had the potential for going bad." Now, again, he's emphasizing that Sydney had agreed to this, but that he had made a mistake. It's hard, Justin, to even say that because this makes no sense.
Well, it makes sense when you realize that he's trying to get a first-degree murder charge dropped down to a manslaughter charge. That's what he's trying to do here. Accidental killing.
I get his intention. I just really doubt that he had ever said it aloud before he said it to them.
I would concur.
So then he talked about what they did with Sydney's body, that they had gotten rid of it in Clay County, Nebraska, because he said there was a special cemetery there. And the reason why they had spread her remains out was to speed up her reincarnation, essentially.
This is just crazy talk at this point. None of the things he's saying pan out. It's just he chopped her body up and disposed of it, and he thought that he was going to get away with it in a way where it wouldn't come back on him.
Especially, they even knew he had used a hacksaw because of the marks on her bones. So he can say whatever he wants, but they know what happened.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly, or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. And immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Field of Greens. I like eating healthy, and I've tried a lot of different supplements. I've tried juicing, and I've spent a lot of money and wasted a lot of time. And let me tell you, honestly, none of those things ever made me feel better. With Field of Greens, it's a superfood that gives you nutrition the way nature intended. It's packed full of organic fruits and vegetables, not extracts. And when you're getting those nutrients, you can sleep better, notice things like your hair and your nails, feel stronger, helps with digestion. You just feel better overall. My favorite flavor is the strawberry lemonade. I have a feeling you're going to love this product the way I do. But if for some reason you don't like it, they give you a 100% money-back guarantee. Plus, you can get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code GenY. Promo code GenY at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Go check it out.
So you said he was talking crazy. Part of this also is when he tells them how he drained the blood from Sydney's body. He said he deposited the blood and Sydney's soul in an unknown location. And so they asked him, okay, so this was part of a fantasy. Who were the other people involved? And he would not give them names. But he did say that Bailey Boswell was not present when Sydney died, but that he forced her to help him dispose of her body.
How convenient, right? Now, the more these investigators look into him, these two suspects, the more their background unfolds. And they find out that in August of 2018, the two were convicted of scamming a Kansas couple out of almost like $400,000. Trail had told the couple that he could purchase a rare coin over in Paris, and they just had to finance his trip and pay a reduced price for this. And for over 2.5 years, he charged them for his make-believe trip to get this rare coin that didn't exist. They were sentenced in August for fraud charges. Boswell received 5 years and Trail received 10. The judge ordered Trail to pay back $407,782 in restitution to the couple. Boswell was ordered to pay close to $200,000 in restitution. And at that, Trail laughed and told the judge, "I'm facing the death penalty. I don't care what you give me." So this is after they've been caught. They're now facing these charges of fraud because all this stuff is catching up to them because they're in custody.
Well, it's bad enough that he's claiming that Sydney had voluntarily participated in this so-called fantasy, but then he tries to claim that the prosecution wanted to reach a plea deal because they didn't want Sydney's role in the fraud scheme exposed. And then Bailey chimes in and says, "Oh, well, Sydney didn't know that the coin was non-existent. She thought it was real." And because of this nonsense, Steve Russell, the U.S. District Attorney, actually argued for more prison time for Boswell because of this.
So Aubrey's murder trial is set to begin on June 2020. So just last year, prosecution argued that he and Boswell made plans to kill someone for months before November 2017. He and Boswell made plans to use Tinder to lure Sydney into their home. And obviously, anyone they could get a hold of, really. It was just Sydney happened to be the unlucky person to reply. The jury was shown surveillance tapes from Home Depot. Boswell and Trail were seen buying a hacksaw, utility knife, 10 snips, just a few hours before their quote-unquote date with Sydney. I mean, I'm glad criminals are stupid, but I don't even know how you could defend this guy when he's literally buying these things from Home Depot right before he's supposed to meet with the victim. I just don't get it. But anyways.
Well, a lot of people think they'll never catch me. They also had footage showing Aubrey Trail watching Sydney Loof when she left Menards.
It's kind of creepy.
So something really bizarre happens. On June 24, 2019, Aubrey starts freaking out, yelling that Bailey is innocent and I curse you all.
He stands up in court and does what?
Yeah, he stands up and he starts cutting at his neck with what appears to be a small blade. He had been in a wheelchair. And I don't know about you, Justin, but I took this to mean that he's doing whatever it takes to try and protect Bailey Boswell.
Yeah. And get himself out of this situation because he doesn't want to be held accountable for his actions.
Yeah, what if he managed to actually cut an artery?
Apparently, it was barely a flesh wound because he was back in trial very soon after that.
Right, and is this just incompetence or the wrong tool for the job or just desperation?
All of the above.
July 2nd, 2020, there was testimony from several women who had been involved with Aubrey Trail and Bailey Boswell. And in their testimony, they talked about how they met Bailey on Tinder, and then after that, were introduced to her quote-unquote sugar daddy. Now, they had received things for going on these dates and for being with this couple. So they got gifts, they got clothing, they got allowances, $200 a week to be a part of this group. And Aubrey had told them that the group consisted of 12 other women who he called witches, and he described himself as Daddy Vampire, and Boswell was Queen Witch. He was telling these women that if they killed someone and took their last breath, that they could attain magic powers, including reading minds and flying.
He said that the more you tortured them before their death, the more powerful you become. I know that they're using the term witches and daddy vampire and stuff, but that's not pagan or Wiccan religion or culture at all. This is just some crap this guy made up and got other people to follow along with his BS. You know, his behavior is no more indicative of a Wiccan's behavior than someone buying antiques. And what was living by his rules like, Aaron? I heard it was pretty strict.
Well, this is essentially a cult, right? So he got to make all the rules. There was group sex. There was selling and stealing of antiques. Pretty much any kind of request that Aubrey or Bailey asked of them, they had to do. They had to comply. And it was no secret that these two had talked about wanting to torture and kill people. And of course, they were saying, when we do this, you know, you'll become more powerful. They also talked about making a snuff film, recording a murder, and then selling that video for $1 million.
They said that they wanted to beat somebody with a baseball bat before killing them, really torture them. Now, one of these women, Ashley Hills, testified that she lived with this sugar daddy and she had allowed them to use her car. She testified that Trail was aroused by watching others in pain. He had a quote-unquote kill bag with pliers and a hammer. He told her that he wanted to rip someone's fingernails off and slice off their eyelids while a woman tortured them. Just really sadistic stuff. I think in the beginning, they think it's all just a fantasy or role-playing, but it was far more serious. Ashley even admitted that she was going to participate in the plan to kill another woman from Tinder, but she never went through with it. She like just backed out and never followed up.
There were real questions here about who would have participated in this murder. And one witness, Kate Brandy, said, yes, I was in a relationship with Aubrey, that he had even purchased a pink leash for her. And one of the things the authorities had done was they had located a pink leash and it was in the same area where Sydney's body was found. And so there was this idea that maybe Kate had participated. And when she was asked, how did your leash get here? She said, I don't know, because she's trying to, I guess, distance herself. But the FBI also had an agent at trial who testified about coded letters.
Oh, yeah. So after Boswell and Trail were arrested and put behind bars, they were writing to each other. And I'm assuming this, you know, just because they don't seem like the smartest people on the planet, maybe every third letter would be the first letter of a word. And they were trying to write secret messages to each other to come up with a story, to come up with some sort of way to get Boswell out of the picture. And to, he wanted her to say that he killed Sydney and that she had no idea about the plan. And he wanted to make people hate him and feel sorry for her.
Well, Justin, this is, again, the kind of case where there's really no defense here. I think it's very clear that he cares about Bailey and is doing whatever he can to try and protect her.
Well, how does this go for him?
Well, July 11th, 2020, Aubrey Trail was found guilty of first-degree murder. And that's not a surprise. I think leading up to that whole court case, no one was even expecting anything different, I don't think. The real question, though, was what would they do with Bailey Boswell? Because it was quite clear that she was instrumental in not only luring Sydney Loof to Aubrey Trail, but also in killing her. So her own trial began on September 25th, 2020, and they relocated it to Lexington, Nebraska. Her defense was all built around the fact that they say Aubrey controlled her actions. Aubrey controlled Bailey. So you can't really say she did all these things of her own free will. They're saying she's a victim as well.
Now, I guess if we didn't have the context of him already saying, I'm going to try to take all the blame here and get you off, then yeah, it just kind of destroys her whole defense because this seems pre-planned already.
Yeah, and if you believe the FBI, he was sending Bailey coded messages. I don't think it takes much to believe that.
Obviously, her defense is going to paint this picture that he was extremely abusive towards her and controlled her. The defense tried to argue that Boswell had no participation in the preparation for the murder. But how does that work, Aaron, when she's the one that was on Tinder, she was the one that was setting up the date, and she was at Home Depot buying bleach and garbage bags and other things to dispose of a body? Like, this just doesn't add up for me.
Well, not to mention the witnesses that had testified to hearing Aubrey and Bailey discussing this, you know, luring people and torturing and killing them.
They even brought her landlord in, Jennifer Cole, who testified that there was a smell of bleach was consuming the entire upstairs of the house. They had to open up all the doors and windows. She said she smelled bleach on November 16th, 2017. That just lines right up. So she's there. She bought the bleach. There's no defense here.
Right. And those same three women that had testified at Aubrey's trial, they were also at Bailey Boswell's trial. And like I said, they're telling the courtroom all about these discussions about torturing and murdering people and about this $1 million they could make by selling a snuff film that they would make. Now, there's one other move that the defense tries, which is questioning the medical examiner who performed the autopsy. And the question was, would it take significant strength to strangle a woman of Sydney's size? Because Sydney was pretty petite, but this medical examiner said, no, it would only take about 11 pounds of pressure. You can see what they were trying there.
Yeah. And it's pretty disgusting. You can make that argument, I guess, but when you have all of this planning to dispose of the body, it sounds stupid to suggest that, she had a small frame, so therefore they accidentally strangled her to death.
October 16th, 2020, Bailey Boswell was convicted of first-degree murder, conspiracy to commit murder, and improper disposal of human remains in the death and dismemberment of Sydney Loof. Now, their sentencings would not take place until 2021. Now, Aubrey was facing the death penalty, as was Bailey Boswell. So, Aubrey made a statement. This is before he was sentenced. And in this statement, he recanted his confession that Sydney died during erotic asphyxiation during rough sex. Remember, he tried saying that he accidentally strangled her with an electrical cord. He didn't mean to kill her. Now he says he tied her up and killed her because she freaked out because of their lifestyle. He said, I had no doubt she would tell people if I let her go. So this was all about keeping her quiet. Is this doing him? He's not doing himself any favors, is he?
Well, again, he's trying to take all the blame. He's trying to say that I did this and no one else should suffer because of my actions.
I fail to understand how this helps anybody.
It doesn't help him. He's just trying to get Boswell either a lesser charge because she had nothing to do with it because he did it all himself. It's just he's trying to take all the blame to get the attention off Boswell.
Yeah, he is doing that.
And again, that's kind of weird to think that if he was this horribly abusive and controlling person, that then he would turn around, do a whole 180 and try to take the fall for Boswell. I think they were a team and they were in cahoots. This was all planned and it wasn't a controlling relationship.
I think that's how the court saw it. Because again, he's insisting that Bailey wasn't in the room, didn't know that Sydney was going to be murdered. But the court doesn't buy this.
Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Some of us spend our lives wishing we had more time. But time for what? If time was unlimited, what would you use it for? If you need to squeeze a special thing into your schedule, do you even know what's important to you? And how to make that a priority? Well, with therapy, you can find out what matters to you so you can do more of it. We all need to vent sometimes. We all need to talk about some of the things that have happened to us. And I'll tell you right now, your friends might be sick of hearing about it. So take the burden off them. Let a professional help you. Sometimes it's as simple as just getting something off your back and letting somebody else know so you can feel validated and move on with your life. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/GenY today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GenY.
District Court Judge Vicki Johnson, she made the decision that this murder met the legal standard of exceptional depravity. This is what's necessary to impose the death penalty. And again, she uses Trail's own words against him. She's saying, "You've changed your story multiple times. You're seen on video purchasing materials before you killed Sidney Loof. This is all premeditated." So he gets the death penalty.
Now, when it's Boswell's turn, it's she has a little bit more of an argument, and she does have a daughter, so she's trying to play up those sympathy cards.
Not only that, but a forensic psychologist is brought in to testify about how Bailey Boswell suffered from PTSD because she was sexually assaulted during college. And because of that, she couldn't say no to Aubrey Trail and his demands. So the psychologist goes on to say that Bailey knew about the plans to kill Sidney, but her role in it was very minor. So this is where it's up to the prosecutor to contradict this. And they use Boswell's photos and texts from her phone and show that she had a great life with Aubrey Trail. She was provided gifts and a vehicle, and she went on trips, and she had an apartment.
And she took part in his cons and scams. She was making, I think she was making over $500 a week by showing up to antique auctions with Trail, and they would dress up like they were highfalutin people, and they would write bad checks and then turn around and sell those, you know, auctioned items to other antique stores and collectors. She was with him for, you know, doing crime for a long, long time. It wasn't just this one incident, this one event.
Now, it's said that she met Aubrey through an escort ad on Backpage, and she had had a different boyfriend at the time who was sex trafficking her. Now, she says something else. She said that Aubrey had threatened to kill her daughter and her family if she didn't comply with his wishes. So they're really setting this up as she really had no choice. You know, you can say that she had this money, she had a good lifestyle, but it was all forced.
It's hard to make that argument, especially when you see all of the evidence, the way they would speak to each other and interact with each other. It's just, I know that people are abused and can't get out of relationships or are afraid to leave, but the evidence of abuse here is, it's hard to find because, you know, there's never a point where she reported him. There was never a point where she was physically abused by him that we can find evidence for. It's just her word saying, "I was in a bad place and he was controlling me and I couldn't say no."
I may not have scoured the entirety of the internet, Justin, but I couldn't find anything suggesting that anyone bought, you know, her story here.
Yeah.
This is what typically happens when someone wants to get out of trouble. They come up with excuses. So is it possible that what she's saying is true? I think it's possible. Is it likely? I don't think so.
I mean, again, it's when he's already said, "Make them all hate me to protect yourself. Paint me as the bad guy." It's like, well, her whole trial and sentencing is she's playing that card of what he told her to do, which is, "I'm going to take all the blame so you don't have to, so you won't be put to death." I mean, sorry that you shouldn't have a horrific murderer say that out loud and have law enforcement and the courts hear it, because it just no one's going to have sympathy now. They're all going to think this is a ploy. This is a lie.
So his very actions, his intentions to protect her are backfiring.
At least in my mind.
Well, she was sentenced to life in prison. She did not get the death penalty. And this was decided recently. So even though Aubrey Traill was sentenced to die by lethal injection, Nebraska hasn't executed anyone in years. So is this just kind of like a show? I mean, if they don't really intend to put him to death, what's the point of going after the death penalty?
Well, it reached the threshold and they got it. I don't think it's for show, because if they ever bring it back, he's definitely going to be, he's on death row, and that's a lot worse than just being put in general pop.
I think you make a great point there, Justin, where you said he met the threshold. It's like they're just following the law. So, Justin, this is a horrible case and it occurred not too long ago. But given all of the things that witnesses said about Aubrey Traill and Bailey Boswell, and given the fact that this is what they did to Sidney Loof, this rape and torture and dismemberment, there's a real question about whether there are other victims here that just haven't been found.
I would agree, because they seem to be very proficient at what they did. And I guess it's just so horrific that it would make me question whether this was their first victim. It absolutely does.
I know it's tough because they were so brazen, really, in what they did and how they did it. But one of the things that did happen was there was an investigator who was given a picture of a cornfield. Now, this was found on Aubrey's Facebook page, and they tried to identify the location of that field because they thought this might be a clue to finding possibly other bodies, but they could never identify the field.
That's creepy, because that absolutely could be evidence of another murder.
And there's something to be said for vulnerable people. You know, they think they're going on a date, and then they get lured to a location where there's someone large and imposing and scary like Aubrey Traill, and then we never get to hear their story. It's just another missing person. So these investigators have tried their best to link possible missing persons cases to these two. But so far, we don't have any details on that.
And as of 2021, the police have not found any additional bodies.
Never miss an episode of Generation Y. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, CastBox, or wherever you're listening right now. Also, be sure to follow us on social media. Our TikTok is at Gen Y Pod. Our Instagram is at Generation Y Podcast. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app to listen ad-free. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.